Now, we saw the amazing aerial footage of the shipwrecks at Portmarnock Beach in Dublin yesterday as a drone operator, Nigel Mottier, discovered a 19th century boat buried in the sand. So what else has been discovered under the water around our coast? Well, Dr. Connie Kelleher is senior archaeologist with the National Monument Service and author of The Alliance of Pirates, Ireland Atlantic Piracy in the Early 17th Century, and RMS Lusitania, The Story of a Wreck. And Connie is on the line now. Hello, Connie.
Hello. Hi, Ray. Thank you for having me.
You're the second underwater archaeologist that I've ever spoken to. There aren't a lot of you about.
No, there are more than there used to be, though, which is great. It's a growing profession, which is brilliant.
And shipwrecks are a joy to an underwater archaeologist.
They're a joy. They're as we say, they're a time capsule. They're something that was lost in a moment of time, and they tell the story of what happened at that very moment. And there's not many sites that can do that, you know.
Yeah. How many shipwrecks have we got around the coast of Ireland?
We have a recorded 18,500, but that's based on records that we can find. An awful lot of the kind of formal records began in the mid-1700s with historical documentation then giving us some insight into ones that were lost earlier than that. But it really kind of comes from that period. So there are many, many more that we don't know of that remain to be discovered. But at the moment, we have a record of 18,500.
And is there an organized strategic plan to discover them all, or are they happened upon by divers?
A bit of both. Or from our own work in the National Monument Service. My colleague Carl Brady is manager of the Wreck Inventory Database of Ireland, and it's their work to quantify the resource, particularly the shipwreck resource. So we are actively looking to quantify as many as we can. And therefore, you know, in order to manage, we have to quantify. So it's part of our work to do that. But an equally valuable resource are our fishermen and our divers, who are also the kind of eyes and ears of the sea. And we work closely with them as well, and with other organisations like our colleagues in the Infomar Seabed Mapping Programme. So they come across an awful lot of wrecks.
Yes, I was on
well.
That. That's fascinating. Infomar, I-N-F-O-M-A-R, that's information and maritime, yes. I suppose, Integrated Mapping for the Sustainable Development of Ireland's marine resource, and you can go on that and then you can zoom in and click on one and it tells you the name of it, if they have the name, and its dimensions. Around the coast is the greatest concentration of wrecks?
It depends. Like, you would get concentrations around ports and harbours, because ships would have been coming in and out and they would have been wrecked there. And you also would get concentrations on, you know, marine hazards like sandbanks, like you have off the east coast, for instance, with the Arklow banks. But I suppose we have a concentration along the east coast because of the traffic, the marine traffic that was there between England and Ireland.
Yes.
But they really are spread around the coast. So we would have the main concentrations would be the east and the south coast. But in a way, it's a bit bit deceptive because they're more spread out on the west coast.
Right.
But we do have a high volume of wrecks from our west coast
and
as well.
And then there's submarines up around the northwest coast. I was looking at that. Just the Portmarnock one, there's a concentration there because during storms, people are trying to get where? Sailors are trying to get where?
They're trying to get out of the storm. So they're probably heading in Portmarnock. They're either heading to Dublin port or they're heading to Drogheda port.
Uh-huh.
And they're trying to really find a safe harbour, as we say.
Yes.
And unfortunately, they didn't. Now, we potentially know of two of the wrecks that are the identity of two of the wrecks there. Research is only ongoing at the moment, but there's amazing stories of the crew of one of those strapping themselves to the mast and being rescued.
I heard Carl talk about that yesterday.
It's fascinating. So they do survive it, but many of them don't.
I'm just wondering, when you go down as an underwater archaeologist to a wreck, can you describe it for us? Because it is an experience that very few people have.
Yeah, it is. I always find it a pleasure, a privilege to go down, because you're looking at a site. You could be the first to look at a site in centuries. Mm. So you're trying to make sense of what is it for a start, and the nature and extent of it, how it came to be there. Being aware of the fact that it could be the resting place of those on board. So in all intents and purposes, a grave site.
Yes, yeah.
And then you're really investigating it to try to figure out what wreck it is, because for many of the wrecks that we investigate, we wouldn't have an identification for them. So it's really a detective story, trying to piece the puzzle together and investigate it in such a way that we can protect it, but also get as much information as we can off it to try to identify what it is.
So in doing that detective work, you will go back over old newspapers, etc., to see if there was a report of a tragedy in that area. It's that sort of thing, is it?
Absolutely. We tried to match it with our records first, and then with other records as well. You mentioned divers at the start there. Many of our diving community have, they've been diving in the sea since they were young, and they have unique records in written or even in their heads, and they're amazing source of information as well. So we reach out and we try to engage with community. We try to look at the historical sources and our own records, and then try to piece that information together with what we're looking at underwater. And that would include looking at the timber, the type of construction, the size of the wreck, and then seeing if it can match any of our records.
And have you ever been first on board a wreck?
I would have probably been first on some wreck, a logboat in Loch Corrib or whatever. It's very hard to say you're the first, because at the time when it went down, it might have been salvaged and somebody else might have gone down to it, because there was historical divers as well, even back into the 17th century, there was famous historical salvage divers back then. So, but I would feel that maybe in modern days, you could say that you're probably the first on certain wrecks, so it's
what about people who die on board?
Yeah.
Would you encounter skeletons, or what way does that work?
I've never encountered any human remains, but they could be there. And, even some of the wrecks that we can't reach because they're too deep, such as the RMS Lusitania, which is probably one of our most famous ones, nearly 2,000 individuals died on that.
Yeah.
And therefore, there are human remains on it. From images and from artifacts that have been recovered in the past, there's items from the passengers that were on board. So you're always aware of those human remains. And that's kind of our job in the National Monument Service, to ensure that we protect it.
Yes.
And we regulate diving so that there is due respect given
to the dead.
To those
yes. So InfoMar, that's up there. You can go and have fun with that. InfoMar. And it shows all the wrecks, the known wrecks around Ireland, and details about their size and their names if they have them. Dr. Yep. Connie Kelleher, underwater archaeologist from the National Monument Service. You're about to say one more thing.
I am. We have our wreck inventory of Ireland up online, as well as the wreck viewer, so that can provide
equally good
information.
How do people find that?
It's online. It's on archaeology.ie.
Great. Thanks, Connie.